content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is All About Pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the ASPCA website, Catster.com, Dogster Magazine, USA Today, and Gizmodo. Today we'll start with an article from the ASPCA.org website called Hot Weather Safety Tips. We all love spending the long, sunny days of summer outdoors with our furry companions, but being overeager in hot weather can spell danger. To prevent your pet from overheating, take these simple precautions provided by ASPCA experts. Visit the vet for a spring or early summer checkup. Make sure your pet gets tested for heartworm if they aren't on year-round preventative medication. Pets can get dehydrated quickly, so give them plenty of fresh, clean water when it's hot or humid outdoors. Make sure your pets have a shady place to get out of the sun. Be careful not to overexercise them, and keep them indoors when it's extremely hot. Know the symptoms of overheating in pets, which include excessive panting or difficulty breathing, increased heart and respiratory rate, drooling, mild weakness, stupor, or even collapse. Symptoms can also include seizures, bloody diarrhea, and vomit, along with an elevated body temperature of over 104 degrees. Animals with flat faces, like pugs and Persian cats, are more susceptible to heat stroke since they cannot pant as effectively. These pets, along with the elderly, the overweight, and those with heart or lung diseases, should be kept cool in air-conditioned rooms as much as possible. Never leave your animals alone in a parked vehicle. Not only can it lead to fatal heat stroke, it is illegal in several states. Do not leave pets unsupervised around a pool. Not all dogs are good swimmers. Introduce your pets to water gradually and make sure they wear flotation devices when on boats. Rinse your dog off after swimming to remove chlorine or salt from his fur, and then try to keep your dog from drinking pool water, which contains chlorine and other chemicals. Open unscreened windows pose a real danger to pets who often fall out of them. Keep all unscreened windows or doors in your home closed and make sure adjustable screens are tightly secured. Feel free to trim longer hair on your dog, but never shave your dog. The layers of dogs' coats protect them from overheating and sunburn. Brushing cats more often than usual can prevent problems caused by excessive heat. And be sure that any sunscreen or insect repellent product you use on your pets is labeled specifically for use on animals. When the temperature is high, don't let your dog linger on hot asphalt. Being so close to the ground, your pooch's body can heat up quickly, and sensitive paw pads can burn. Keep walks during these times to a minimum. Commonly used rodenticides and lawn and garden insecticides can be harmful to cats and dogs if ingested, so keep them out of reach. Keep citronella candles, tiki torch products, and insect coils out of pets' reach as well. Call your veterinarian or the ASPCA Animal Poison Control Center at 888-426-4435 if you suspect your animal has ingested a poisonous substance. Remember that food and drink commonly found at barbecues can be poisonous to pets. Keep alcoholic beverages away from pets as they can cause intoxication, depression, and comas. Similarly, remember that snacks enjoyed by your human friends should not be a treat for your pet. Any change of diet, even for one meal, may give your dog or cat severe digestive ailments. Avoid raisins, grapes, onions, chocolate, and products with the sweetener xylitol. Please leave pets at home when you head out to 4th of July celebrations and never use fireworks around pets. Exposure to lit fireworks can potentially result in severe burns or trauma, and even unused fireworks contain hazardous material. Many pets are fearful of loud noises and can become lost, scared, or disoriented. So it's best to keep your little guys safe from the noise in a quiet, sheltered, and escape-proof area of your home. Next, we'll move on to an article from Gizmodo.com. If you're owned by a cat, scientists want to hear from you, by Ed Kara. Scientists in California are asking for U.S. volunteers who live with cats to participate in a new research project. The study will survey owners about their pets' behaviors and their knowledge of training methods. The team's larger goal is to help cats, especially kittens, and humans better form healthy relationships with one another. Their work is being conducted by scientists from the Animal Welfare Epidemiology Lab at the University of California, Davis. Last fall, the team recruited volunteers who owned exactly two cats to look at cat videos on the internet as part of a project to study how well owners could read feline body language. They were especially interested in knowing whether owners could tell when cats were about to lash out at their furry roommates. The project is still ongoing, but the lab is now beginning work on a new study. This time, they want to explore the socialization of cats viewed through the lens of their owners, as well as how much importance owners place on different aspects of cat socialization. Socialization here refers to the introduction of the animal to new people, places, and objects. This includes everything from kitten socialization programs, often called kitten kindergarten, to adult cats going on adventures with their owner. Project researcher Jennifer Link, a PhD student at the lab, told Gizmodo. Link notes that newly adopted dogs and their owners routinely take part in dedicated socialization programs, but the same can't be said for cat-owning families. Some reason for this discrepancy might include that cat owners aren't interested in these programs, that they can't afford or access them, or that they simply don't know they exist in the first place. Another key focus of the project will include trying to figure out why so few families attend kitten kindergarten. Once we've collected all the responses, we can share our findings with shelters, cat behaviorists, and the public, so as to hopefully make cat and kitten socialization more accessible to all those who want to get it, she said. Perhaps unsurprisingly, studying cats and their interactions with people isn't as easy to do as it is with dogs. For instance, cats get very anxious when outside of their normal environment, meaning that their behavior in a lab is likely to be substantially different from how they act usually. So surveys and citizen science projects that can be conducted at home can bridge this gap in research. And this study in particular may help scientists like Link find the best ways to improve cat-human bonds from an early age. In short, a well-socialized kitten becomes a well-adjusted adult. And we'd like to do whatever we can to ensure the creation of more well-socialized kittens. We hope that our study will be a good first step in that process. The team is looking to obtain about 25,000 survey responses in total, with an eye on having something to show the public within the next 12 to 18 months. Eligible volunteers, current cat owners in the U.S., can sign up at ucdavis.co1.qualtrics.com. And the survey should take no longer than 10 to 15 minutes to fill out. Next, we'll move on to catster.com, and we'll start with an article called PetSmart Charities Grants $500,000 to Meals on Wheels by Jackie Brown. Meals on Wheels America announced in February that it received a $500,000 grant from PetSmart Charities to support pet assistance services for pet-owning older adults, with an emphasis on underfunded areas and populations. A joint study from the two groups last year that looked into the needs of homebound seniors found that 48% of Meals on Wheels clients receiving pet support did not have anyone else other than Meals on Wheels to help them with pets. The study also identified service gaps in Meals on Wheels pet assistance offerings, which the new grant will help to address. For our final article on catster.com today, we'll read, "Why Do Cats Sneak Around?" by Susan Logan McCracken. A cat's sense of stealth is strong, preventing their predators and prey from detecting them. The goal is to see without being seen. Cats prefer enclosed, high places where they can see who's coming and going, observing their world, feeling safe from their predators, and undetected by prey. The instinct is evidenced in the wild cat species as well. Cougars and leopards blend in with their background so well that they go undetected by people living nearby. If you've hiked in cougar territory, you may not see a single cat, but that doesn't mean they're not spying on you. Unless they're hunting for food or in trying to impress a mate, most cats, including the wild species, generally don't want a confrontation with other animals or people. Even at home, unless they're wearing a bell on their collar, we tend not to hear a cat approaching. How many times have we tripped over our cats because we didn't know they were under our feet? In fact, bird advocates recommend attaching bells to outdoor cats' collars to warn birds of their advances. Without that bell, cats have an advantage over their prey, which can't hear them coming. Cat's sense of smell. We may appreciate an aromatic meal or brewing a pot of coffee, but our sense of smell is nothing like a cat's. While our visual cortex is dominant in our brains, a cat's olfactory cortex is dominant. That means cats rely on their sense of smell the way we rely on eyesight. They identify everything and everyone through scent, and also hide their own scent from predators. In fact, cats bury their waste, and queens immediately clean their newborn kittens for this very reason. They don't want predators to find them. A feline anomaly. A 2008 study from Duke University suggests that feline stealth is actually counterintuitive to evolution because it's inefficient and requires large amounts of energy. In the study, dogs chase efficiently, but cats skulk counterintuitively, researchers wrote. While the dogs depend on an energy-efficient style of our four-footed running over long distances to catch their prey, cats seem to have evolved to a profoundly inefficient gait, tailor-made to creep upon a mouse or bird in slow motion. In the study, Daniel Schmidt, a Duke associate professor of evolutionary anthropology, states that expending the least amount of energy for maximum efficiency is a principle of evolution. But to hunt successfully, cats must sneak up on their prey, and that requires prolific energy. However, although a cat's gait is inefficient, it's graceful. If they're creeping, they're going to put this foot down and then that foot down and then that one in an even fashion, Daniel writes. Humans and dogs, on the other hand, rise and fall when they walk, which actually conserves energy. This behavior matches other feline characteristics. Cats exude short bursts of explosive energy to hunt and stalk their prey. Making up for this inefficient energy use, cats sleep 2/3 of their lives to regenerate. They also need exercise and playtime that mimic the hunt in order to hone these innate stalking and pouncing skills. Traits of feline stealth. Here are just a few traits of our stealthy friends. Cats move quietly. Cats sneak up on prey. Cats observe the environment. Cats wait patiently for the right opportunity. Cats blend in with the foliage. Cats bury their waste to avoid being detected through scent. Cats hide when they're sick or vulnerable. And cats do everything in such a way so that their prey and predators do not see, hear, or smell them. Dangers of feline stealth. Because enclosed tight spaces are cat magnets, it's important to check these areas before operating to prevent your cat getting injured. Car engines before starting ignition, your feet before walking, clothes dryers or other appliances before turning them on, reclining furniture before closing, cabinets and closet doors before closing. Next, we'll move on to an article from USA Today titled, What Colors Can Your Dog See? Explaining Your Pet's Worldview by Olivia Munson. The human brain and eyes process light into color, allowing us to see various hues and shades of the rainbow, but our furry friends see differently than we do. You are out for a stroll with your dog, and you look at the bright green grass, light blue sky, and blazing yellow sun. You cannot help but wonder, do dogs see color? It is widely believed that dogs see in black and white, and for years this idea was accepted as fact. However, recent studies are proving otherwise for what color dogs can see. Can dogs see color? In order to differentiate color, the retina uses cones, according to the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Human eyes have three types of cones: red sensing, green sensing, and blue sensing cones. Dogs, on the other hand, only have two types of cones in their eyes, which allow them to detect blue and yellow. This limited color perception is called dichromatic vision, according to VCA Animal Hospitals. Dogs can identify blue and yellow, so they can make out combinations with those colors. However, since dogs do not have red sensing zones, their sight is comparable to that of someone with red-green color blindness, according to research by Jay Neitz, professor of ophthalmology and a color vision researcher at the University of Washington. A human with red-green color blindness will mistake shades of a certain color with another. For instance, black could be perceived as multiple shades of red or bright green could be identified as yellow, according to Healthline. For dogs, it's similar. Most of their worldview is grayish-brown, according to the American Kennel Club. A red rubber ball may be brown through a dog's eyes. Your pup's favorite green dinosaur plush toy could appear to be yellowish to them. Along with seeing contrasting colors, humans and dogs have other vision differences, according to the VCA Animal Hospitals. Dogs are more nearsighted than humans. If you and your dog are looking at a tree from the same distance, it may appear blurrier to them. In comparison to humans, dogs' peripheral vision is better, but their depth perception has a smaller range. Dogs are also less sensitive to changes in brightness, so what you see as a distinct shade would be more muted to your pup. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine. And I'm going to start with an article by Sassafras Lowry called What's New with DNA from the Fun with Fido section. Dog DNA testing kits are designed for dog owners to be able to painlessly collect samples from their dog at home, mail the sample back to a lab to be analyzed, and get results sent back. However, DNA tests aren't just about finding out what breeds your dog is mixed with anymore, but now help provide important information about your dog's health. Let's take a look at today's DNA kits. How it works. Most dog DNA kits send dog owners a swab that's put into the dog's mouth and rubbed on the inside of the cheek for a short period of time. The process is quick and painless for dogs who are comfortable being handled. The swab is then sealed in a sterile container and can be mailed back to the DNA testing provider, usually in a self-addressed and postage-paged envelope. Back at the lab, the swab will be analyzed by scientists and results will be mailed or emailed to you generally within a couple of weeks. Reasons to test. The primary reason many people purchase at-home doggy DNA tests is to find out what breeds combine to make their unique pup. But there are other useful reasons to purchase a DNA kit, even if you have a purebred dog. Predict your dog's future size. If you have adopted a new mixed breed puppy, DNA tests can provide helpful information to plan for her development by providing estimates for the weight and size of your puppy will be when she reaches adulthood. Knowing what breeds your dog is mixed with gives you an opportunity to learn about those breeds' common behaviors, exercise needs, etc., which can help prevent conflict between dogs and their owners and allow owners to be more prepared with enrichment activities and training as the dog ages. Predisposed health issues. DNA testing for dogs helps you learn more about genetic health conditions your dog may have a higher likelihood of developing during her lifetime. If health risks come back, don't panic. A DNA test doesn't guarantee a dog will develop any of these conditions, but knowing your dog is predisposed to specific health risks can help you be prepared and proactive with preventative measures and early screening. Your veterinarian will then be able to monitor your dog more closely for these conditions over time and provide additional screenings as appropriate. The potential to learn more about your dog's predisposition to a certain medical condition is a primary reason to DNA test your dog, even if she's a purebred. Possible reactions and sensitivities. DNA tests can also determine if your dog has certain drug sensitivities and, in some cases, even test for allergies. The result from the health aspects of DNA testing is information that can be shared with your dog's veterinarian, be put in your dog's medical file. Make connections. One fun and surprising aspect of DNA testing is finding dogs who are related to your dog or who are similar in DNA mix, especially if your dog's a rescue and you don't know a lot about her background. Some dog DNA testing companies will alert you anytime they process a DNA sample of a dog who is related or has a similar mix to your dog, and provide you with an opportunity to contact the other dog's owners via their website or a photo of the dog. Not only is it fun to see those photos, you can share information with other owners and learn more about health and behavioral trends that might run in your dog's family. Contribute to science. If you choose to DNA test your dog, in addition to you learning more about your own dog, the scientists at the DNA testing company can use your dog's information to further their study of canine genetics. This can help scientists learn more about health conditions and how they are passed down, as well as why they are more prevalent in certain breeds. If you opt into allowing your dog's data to be used by geneticists, it will be anonymized, so you and your dog will remain private, and your dog's DNA information won't be traceable back specifically to her. Discover breed-specific concerns. Unfortunately, unfair discrimination still happens against certain dog breeds. breed-specific legislation, BSL, means that cities or other municipalities can restrict or ban certain breeds of dogs or dogs mixed with those breeds from living in the area. At times, BSL is used against dogs of unknown breed but who have physical characteristics of targeted breeds. In this case, a DNA test to prove a dog isn't one of those breeds could be helpful. However, a DNA test documenting that a dog is one of the targeted breeds could be a problem. Also, if you're purchasing a new home insurance policy, many companies will ask what breed of dog you have. And some home insurance providers discriminate against certain breeds of dogs. If you have DNA tested your dog, you could be asked to disclose that breed information, which could impact your ability to purchase a policy from some companies. Looking to the future. Some kinds of DNA collection can provide the material needed to clone your dog down the road if you ever wanted to. A clone dog is a genetic twin to your dog, sharing key attributes, but will still have the same personality. More than meets the eye. On the lighter side of DNA testing, many dog lovers enjoy trying to guess what different breeds their dog is mixed with, based on behavior, physical look, and characteristics. Most dog lovers think they're pretty good at guessing breeds, but that isn't always the case. A study conducted by the College of Veterinary Medicine at the University of Florida found that when veterinarians, breeders, and dog trainers, all of whom would be considered experts, looked at photographs of dogs, the most prominent breed of dog was only correctly guessed 27% of the time. DNA tests are the only way to know what breed a dog is mixed with. Now that DNA testing has moved beyond the basic breed questions, at-home kits have become increasingly popular for owners. Maybe it's time to give one a try. Next, we'll move on to cool dog people for the love of dogs. People and Dogs Who Help the Environment by Wendy Newell. Every day we see the effects of climate change caused by Earth's inhabitants. As world leaders and scientists look for ways to slow, stop, and reverse the damage being done, we found three cool dog people who teach us how dog owners and their pups can help in the fight. Isabel Grock, the conservation canine storyteller. Isabel Grock was driven from a young age to use the power of images to document environmental issues. It wasn't until a few years ago, while she was working with a talented pup, Allie, from the organization Conservation Canines, that she turned her talents to show how dogs have a unique talent to help. Isabel watched as Allie located Canada's most endangered amphibian, the precious frog, allowing biologists to understand their habitat and reduce the threats they face. Conservation Canines use scat detection dogs for non-invasive monitoring of multiple species simultaneously across large areas. Depending on their training, they can detect the scent of scat, noxious weeds and plants, salamanders, and more. These talented pups can search tough terrain quickly and more accurately than a human. I became fascinated with what these dedicated canines could do, and I wanted to tell their stories, Isabel explains. Dogs can be trained to sniff out just about anything, and our imagination is perhaps the only limit when it comes to potential tasks for these extraordinary canines. Benny is another pup Isabel saw at work. Benny and his talented nose help wildlife officers find illegally trafficked animal products like elephant ivory, rhino horns, and shark fins. His partner, Detective Laura Wendt of the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, gives the signal, "Find it," and that's exactly what Benny does. Isabel has joined Dio and his handler, Colette Yee, on a boat in the Salish Sea, a marginal sea of the Pacific Ocean located in the Canadian province of British Columbia in the U.S. state of Washington, where Dio helps researchers find floating orca poop. He's a keen sniffer, and impeccable communication skills allow him to guide the humans to the specimens before they sank. The recovered scat helps scientists understand the endangered killer whale population and how to help them. Isabel shares the stories of these dogs and their work in her book, Conservation Canines, How Dogs Work for the Environment, at Amazon.com. She strongly believes that conservation canines also give us the important message that we can do our part to protect our planet's biodiversity. Dogs make the world better and can inspire us to do so too. Rose Seaman, the Poop Loop Environmentalist. It was during a lunch break one day in a local park that Rose Seaman became consciously aware of the amount of dog poop that was being tossed into the garbage and eventually pushed to landfills. Since no one else was doing anything about the waste, she decided she would take steps to get and keep dog poop in a useful, safe, and helpful recycle loop. and help others do the same. An environmentally friendly pet waste management is important for a sustainable future. In her research, Rose learned that there are more than 83 million dogs in the U.S. who together produce 11 million pounds of poop each year. Keeping pet poop in the loop reduces methane emissions. One more tap on the brake for climate change, she explains. Rose is a member of the startup team of the Enviro Pet Waste Network, EPWN, a nonprofit that connects people around the world to share information about keeping pet waste, litter, and bedding out of landfills and transforming them into useful soil enhancers. She started the program EnviroWag, which composts dog waste from dog parks, dog daycares, and trailheads in the Metro Denver area. Her book, The Pet Poo Pocket Guide, How to Safely Compost and Recycle Pet Waste, helps readers compost pet waste safely and shares best practices for cycling pet waste so that it can enrich soil to be harmlessly released back into nature. Ann Carlson, the cricket culinarian. It was Ann Carlson's daughter, a career in consumer goods, and her love of animals that led her down the path of co-founding and leading a CEO cricket-based dog food company, Jiminy's. Booth, Ann's daughter, is rightfully worried about climate change and its impact on future generations. Her concern prompted Ann to look into ways she could make a meaningful change. After coming across a UN study that offered insect protein as a solution to world hunger, Ann had an idea. What about new dog food? Ann shares her new favorite stat. After a year, 1 acre with cattle will yield 40 pounds of protein, while 1 acre with crickets will produce 65,000 pounds of protein. She points out that in the United States, dogs eat 32 billion pounds of protein a year. Switching dogs to an insect-based protein source will drastically reduce the stress on our increasingly concerning land and water shortages. It's no contest, she says. Our insect protein is changing the game. Dogs seem to love the insect protein. After all, many will happily snap up an offending cricket off your living room floor if given the chance. A cricket-based protein food is a sustainable and earth-friendly solution. It saves water, land, helps fight climate change, and is a humane choice. Jiminy's Crunch crickets lived 80% of their natural lives in temperature-controlled cricket barns, and the entire cricket is used in the food. Add the fact that insect protein meets all of a dog's nutritional needs, and it seems that even just rotating an insect protein into a dog's diet now and then can help the environment. Ann points out, you and the planet, your dog and the planet, will all be healthier for it. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.